Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello everyone, it's great to have you here. I'm Ruth, the host of A Quiet Life, and it's good to have you with me listening. This is episode 35, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 19th of June 2019, and today's guest is Marlene. Marlene talks about working as a speech and drama teacher, and she's worked at it as a teacher of high school students and primary school students, and now she teaches in U3A, and we talk about that, what that is, and you'll have to listen to find out. I wanted to clarify something. I was listening through the interview and realised that I had said I don't have any great love for teenagers en masse, and that was a really horrible thing to say. You know, teenagers are wonderful people, and I think once my kids became teenagers, I just realised how we make them into something scary, and they're not. I actually loved my kids' teenage years. They're not teenagers anymore. They're older. Anyway, it's so much fun having teenagers in the house, and I've said that many a time. I would be a horrible teacher. I just know it's not in my skill set. I am much better off at home here in my little office talking to you online. I am severely introverted, and teaching is not the job for me. So it's quite fun because I think a lot of people have said to me as I've gone through all my different changes of career, oh, how about teaching? You could do teaching. And it's just something that just isn't right for me. It's not even, you know, something that I want to do but shouldn't. It's just not the right job for me to do. So that's really why I'm not a teacher. And I think our teachers are amazing, the amount of work they do. And I'm very proud to be married to one. And he loves teenagers, as I say in the interview. He enjoys spending time with teenagers. And that's so great. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that a little bit because what I said sounded quite insulting and was not exactly right. Oh, the things that slip out of your mouth when you're in the middle of an interview. This week in my life, on the weekend just gone, Moz and I went away to Swansea for a holiday. We had 4 days. We went up on the Friday and came back on the Monday. And look, it was such a privilege to go, and I feel very privileged to say we could do that, but it was just so necessary. And I could feel my little brain unwinding with every hour that I was there. It took about 24 hours for me to finally unwind and relax, and it was just exactly what I needed. So I've come back refreshed. They talk about refilling the creative well. My creative well is refilled. I'm enjoying writing again more than I was before I left, and it was just such a joy. And the weather was beautiful. The sun was shining. We had amazing views from the little house, you know, Airbnb place that we rented. And we went down to the local IGA and bought food and cooked up for ourselves, and we didn't get in the car for the whole of Saturday and the whole of Sunday. We went for nice long walks along the beach, and it was just totally refreshing and beautiful. And we're going to make sure we do it more often in the future because we just seem to need that sort of a holiday, as well as maybe the more adventurous kind of holidays as well. So yes, I come back newly refreshed from the Swansea holiday and straight back into work again, but it was just wonderful to have that time away, and I enjoyed it. So yes, coming up, Caleb has exams. He's my son. He's doing engineering, and so he has a couple of exams on over the next few days. So if you feel like praying for him, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. I'd appreciate it too. But just all the normal stuff. Just working, editing, writing, having coffee with people, and all that sort of joyous thing. And I'm just really enjoying life, re-energized and rejuvenated, and just back to feeling a bit more like me again. So highly recommend, holidays when you need them. It was just a little holiday. I'm working really hard with myself to say, right, I need to book in a 2-week holiday at some stage. But oh, when is the right time to do that? Anyway, that's the next plan, is make a time on my calendar to have a 2-week holiday so that I unwind even more. And then maybe, you know, build myself back up again so I'm not just a messy puddle on the floor. So that was this week. So anyway, it's a short intro today, I think, and it's a fairly short interview with Marlene, but I think that you'll agree with me that she's just such a gorgeous person. I'm really grateful that I've gotten to know her from going to St. Luke's, and she's such a blessing. And I hope that you enjoy the interview as much as I did. Today's guest is Marlene, and Marlene is a new friend that I found when I started going to St. Luke's. And if you listen to the podcast, you've heard about St. Luke's. And I fell in love with Marlene's voice when she did the prayers one week, and I thought, she must be a teacher, and she is a teacher. So we'll hear more about that. And Marlene is retired, but like most retired people I know, she's super busy teaching and praying and studying and doing all the things, so caring for others. So welcome, Marlene.
Thank you.
So the other thing I want to tell you too is that Marlene's had basically no notice of the questions, so she's just very willingly jumped in. And so we'll see how we go. I'm sure we'll be teacher, you think on your feet, so I'm sure you'll be fine. So we start where we always start. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I guess I have been a Christian all my life, but my mother was a Christian, and she talked to me and told me about the life of Jesus and so on. When I left home, I suppose I left Jesus for a while. Mm. We all seem to do that at some stage, and then I decided that I had to teach in a school where Jesus was mentioned quite often in assemblies and places like that. And of course I found literature that interested me, and I felt that the students I was teaching needed to know about this literature and therefore to know about Jesus. So that's my early start.
Was there a specific time when you said, from this time forward, I'm with Jesus? Or was it more of a gradual thing?
A gradual thing through teaching and through reading the things that I was going to teach. That belief was there, and that understanding, and I guess that help from God was there too.
There's specific authors that you really fell in love with?
I think many people would know the name of Clive Sansom.
Right.
He was a Quaker, and I taught with Clive for many years, and he was a wonderful person to listen to, and in his quiet way I think he helped me tremendously too. And then after that I went on to teach in a school and perhaps took his thoughts with me as well.
Cool. So what do you teach?
Not an awful lot these days.
What did you teach?
I taught speech and drama, and I did that through the Speech and Drama Centre with Clive to start, and then I went into a school and I taught speech and drama there as the specialised teacher, which is a wonderful subject to teach.
I don't know. I did so badly at speech and drama in high school.
I don't believe it.
I think I wasn't out there enough for the teacher. But that's all right.
No, you don't have to be out there. No.
So how did you show your faith through teaching? I mean, you were, you know, you say you were in a Christian school, so you could actually talk to the students about...
Yes. I don't know that I ever lectured them, let's say. But the content, of course, speech and drama is a performing subject, and much of the subject that I I chose had to do with poetry mm-hmm. and drama, of course. But we chose, I chose Clive once again because I knew him so well. I chose a lot of his poems, and we in fact presented the Witnesses, which is a collection of poems that he wrote about the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. And naturally, the students need to know what this means. And some of them understood, some of them just rattled off words, and they learned even by this that mm. you must think about what you're saying and understand mm. what you're saying.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's very similar in how Andrew Legg teaches the Southern Gospel Choir. It's mm. the words in the music, you can think that they're not having any effect, but
mm.
but if you have to memorize them, you stick them in your brain, I guess.
Mm.
So, yes. So you would then attach great importance to what you're actually reading or thinking about or memorizing through life?
Yes, very much so, yes. Yes, I think that whatever I chose was something that was going to be memorable to the students, but also that would help them in their daily life. Sometimes when we were getting ready for exams or something like that, some of the subjects were not as, they certainly had no religion in them at all.
Mm.
And that's okay because that's life.
Yes.
As well. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Yes. And did you go on the stage yourself? Did you come to this through a desire to go on the stage? Or
when I lived in Launceston, many, many, many years ago, yes, I belonged to what was known as the Launceston Players, and I think they're still going. And I did a little bit on stage, but it wasn't my forte. I didn't enjoy it as much. I wanted to teach.
To teach, yeah. Mm. And I am not a teacher because I don't have any great love for teenagers en masse. My husband has a huge love for teenagers, mm. but yeah, did you enjoy working with teenagers? Mm. Did you have is that the age group that you prefer to work with? Or?
Well, I taught from about grade two right wow. through to matric, and I loved them all, but my great love was the matric students.
Mm.
We combined, it was a girls' school that I taught at, and we combined with one of the local boys' schools for things like drama and art and so on. And that was very useful, of course, when I was teaching, because it's much better to have a boy speaking a boy's part. So that was that was the content of my teaching students.
Yeah. Mm. And, of course, you're still teaching. You're teaching at U3A now. Would you like to tell us a bit about what that is and what you do?
That's the University of the Third Age, and believe me, I feel like the Third Age at times. But that's all right. I have the most beautiful class.
Mm.
I've been teaching for quite a number of years now with U3A, and you have to be, you know, getting on a bit to start doing that sort of thing, but it was lovely to be able to meet up with people of the same age, or not probably quite as old at times. We read plays,
mm.
and that, of course, once again brings you into what is life.
Yeah.
And I choose the plays, but not always. Some other people will suggest them at times.
Mm. There's a huge wealth of literature out there. So, I mean, everybody goes for Shakespeare. But, yeah, do you find that there's more modern stuff that's now available that's good, or how do you choose?
I have a book that a book suggests to me which plays are available.
Mm.
The modern plays are very modern. Of course, you have to contend with the language of mm. modern plays too. I never say to my students, I suppose I can call them, they're not really my friends, I never insist that they that they repeat the words that come up at times. Mm. They can put whatever word they want to in. It doesn't matter. If it offends them, if it worries them, then they can use whatever they like.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I guess that you'd have some quite deep conversations after going through.
Yes, we do. Yes. As a matter of fact, I've had my hearing aids fixed up again because when I'm in discussion, I quite often couldn't hear what they were saying. Oh, yeah. And that's a bit of a drawback. So, yes, we do. We discuss quite a lot about what is going on in the play and what, you know, what has been said and so on. Yeah. I don't know that very many of them are believers. I know some of them are. And that's nice. Mm. Mm. Some of them get a little bit offended with the plays that are there, and I have a little chat to them afterwards.
And just say, this is life, this is what we've got to. I think that some Christians are scared of the performing arts area because it so often gets, I guess, twisted or, I guess that's my question to you. What's your answer to people who are scared of the performing arts? Who are scared of?
Sorry, that's my clock, which I couldn't hear until I had the hearing aids fixed. sorry, you better tell me that again.
What's your answer to Christians who are scared of the whole performing arts area? You know, I think there are Christians who would say, don't go into training in the performing arts because it's a stronghold of the devil, even.
I think I would probably just say to them, it's not necessarily what you read on the paper that is important. It's how you cope with it, because if you go out into the world is like that. And so you cope with that. And maybe it's just that it's the way you are able to read the part of the play that's in the play. But I would always ask them not to let it worry them, because it isn't a big thing at all.
Yeah. Nice. So when do you feel close to God?
Always. Yes. I know people say that you feel close to God when something traumatic happens. And I guess I did at times there, but now I feel close to God always. It doesn't matter whether I'm driving along in the car or sitting quietly by myself. It's in the back of my mind all the time. I know that God is there with me, and so that's wonderful. I think that you find that when you're by yourself too, quite a lot.
Yes, and how long have you been by yourself?
About 15 years.
Yes, so knowing that God is there and you can talk to him at any time,
it's good. it's good, and I do talk to him. Once upon a time I had a dear husband I would come home to and talk to, but now I don't. I don't even have a cat or a dog anymore, and I used to talk to them. But it is wonderful to know that it doesn't matter whether you're driving or sitting, wherever you are, you can talk to God. And it's a great comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
That God is there. Everyone doesn't know that. And that is a very great sadness to me. And I'm hoping that through my work in the church that we can do something about bringing in more people. It's very important to me that as many people as possible will know of our dear Lord and what he has done for us and what he still does for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and what do you do? Do you want to tell people what you do ministry-wise in the church now?
Pray. And pray and pray. What do I do? Well, during services, I sometimes read. I sometimes do the prayers for the people, and I always pray before I have said these prayers. I always ask that these words that I have chosen are the words that people would want to say themselves and would agree with, because it's no use just rattling off a whole lot of words that are meaningless to other people. And so that's another thing I do. I take part in as many things as I can within the church. I went along to a writing group for a couple of weeks, which was lovely. But then, of course, my U3A takes over after that, and I can't do that anymore. And we have an Alpha course going at the moment, as you know, which I think is terrific, absolutely marvellous. And I hope that we can go on and get more people to come along to that, because it's, once again, it's not only the visual thing, but it's the discussion afterwards that is great and does help tremendously.
And you lead services at Mary's Grange?
Yeah, down at Mary's Grange. About every month, Heather and I do a service down there called Morning Prayer, and we just sing a few hymns and have a little talk and do some prayers. And if anybody wants to sing, we have a beautiful man down there who loves to sing. And so he might sing by himself at times and so on.
That's so lovely.
But it's great.
So I think I'm just encouraged by your life that you just seem to go out and do whatever you can do. And having that the kingdom in mind as you do it is wonderful.
It's nice, but it really is just something that that I enjoy doing. I'm not sort of thrust into it at all. It's just that I want to do it and I like to do it. And people around me are so beautiful too. I love people.
It's building community.
Oh yes, it is. Yes, and I live in a community, and that's wonderful too, because apart from doing social things together, we have our little prayer group on a Monday morning, which is lovely too.
Absolutely. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your life with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Wasn't it just lovely? Marlene's just so humble, isn't she? Just gorgeous. Next week, we'll be hearing from my friend Matt Colwell. I've known Matt for long enough that he's one of those people who's family, not just friends. He's retired now too, but as you'll hear, you wouldn't really know it. He's fairly busy, and it's great to hear about his life. I want to thank the people involved in producing this, Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music, and Matt Dobson for the transcription. And thank you all for listening, because it just wouldn't be the same if you didn't listen. Don't forget to leave me a rating on iTunes if you can, and you can drop me a line, email me, or find me on Facebook or Twitter. I would love to hear from you. See you next week.